trusting in God's sanctuary. And this particular chapter, going back, I was in the 60 chapters, but now I'm back into 26, to share this message, which is relative to what we've been talking about in Isaiah. Isaiah 26 this morning, chapter 26, 1 through 6. And this is a song that Isaiah said is going to be sung one of these days in the land of Judah. And it's a song trusting God's protection. And we do trust in God's protection. And we're going to see what Isaiah is talking about this morning in this message, in these few verses. So beginning with verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 26, which says, "In that day this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up walls and ramparts for security." Verse 2, "Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the one that remains faithful. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord always, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. For he has brought low to those who dwell on high the unassailable city. He lays it low, he lays it low to the ground. He cast it to the dust." And then verse 6, our final verse. "The foot will trample it, the feet of the afflicted, the steps of the helpless." So, as we look at the introduction of this particular text this morning, Isaiah is revealing something here to us. And he's revealing yet another portion of the future that awaits mankind. And when I say mankind, I'm talking about all of mankind. And it's a future that will demand the utmost trust in God. Our utmost trust in God. But for those who focus their life on God, they will find extraordinary peace for whatever they face. And whatever we face with God, we have his protection. We can trust in God's protection. So because of God's victory, according to Isaiah, what he's saying here, over the city that ruled the world through oppression, Isaiah pens a song that will be sung by the redeemed when the Messiah establishes his millennium kingdom. And that is coming in the near future, the millennium kingdom. And Isaiah pictures himself standing in the redeemed land, the remnant, listening to the people express their thanks and also their confidence in God. And we too will be given thanks, and we will show our confidence in God that he had brought us from what we're in our world and the circumstances that we face each day to the millennium, one of these days where there will be ultimate peace. And Isaiah hears him reflect upon what Christ's triumph, earthly return means to them. They will be rejoicing and telling how important that Christ's return means to them. And they are determined to keep faith with the Lord God, who kept faith with them in their times of great need. We're all in great need in our society today, and we know who can help us with that. And it will take steadfast trust not only to appreciate but to participate in the future God has for his people. So, this morning, let us look how the future will demand our supreme trust in God. So, first of all, God is our stronghold. He is our stronghold. And let's start with verse 1, where it says, again, in that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up the walls and ramparts for security. Now, in looking at what Isaiah is saying here this morning, and it should give us hope and security, because we know God is our stronghold. So in that day, God will demonstrate that he destroys the false. Everything that's false in this world today, it will be gone. We won't have to be worrying about false deception and the things that we're experiencing today in this world, in our society, or in our nation. It will be gone. God will take it out. But rise up. We will rise up to the truth. We will know the truth. And we know God is truth. His word is true. It's infallible, inerrant. And we can trust it from Genesis to Revelation because we know it is truth. A lot of things in this world, man-made or is falsified, is deceptive, and it is false truth. And we need to be able to discern what is false and what is true in our lives today. And the only way we will know that is to align ourselves with what the Word of God says, what is truth, what is false. And if we lean upon God's wisdom in making good decisions and hearing, be able to discern truth from wrong or false, then we will know God is in it, if it's true. So it will be a time marked by praise and thanksgiving by those permitted to reside within the security and the peace of Jerusalem. And that's where our God will set up his kingdom, the new millennium kingdom. So in recognition of the faithfulness of his great salvation, this song of praise is lifted up to him. He is most deservable of being praised in our Lord Jesus Christ too. So this song will be sung, according to Isaiah, in the land of Judah. And the song's background is a reversal of fortunes. And if you should go back and read the previous chapter, chapter 25, 1 through 5, you'll understand what Isaiah is talking about, because God's humble will be exalted and aggressive oppressors are laid low. That's what Isaiah is saying right here in verse 1. So, in contrast, and look at what Isaiah is saying about the city that ruled the world being destroyed in chapter 24 and 25, verse 2, the redeemed will have a strong city. And throughout the world, the redeemed will live in the cities and the towns, but the strong city, Jerusalem, when I say strong city, Isaiah's talking about Jerusalem, is where the Messiah will reign. He will set up his reign there in the strong city, which is Jerusalem. And the city will be a place of security. It will be a place of blessing for the world redeemed who inhabits this world. So because of the Messiah's presence there, the city is figuratively said to have salvation for its walls and stockades, and that sloping fortification or earth or stone. And if you should read 2 Samuel chapter 20, verse 15, he also identifies this as well, as Isaiah is pointing it out here, right here. So its defense and blessings will be supernatural. It will be from God himself. He will set it all up. He will manage it. He will make it happen. And we can trust God with that. So man-made walls and fortresses cannot save us from this perils which threaten our lives. Nothing that man can come up with or design or make or create will not stand, but God will. So the only true defense and salvation is that which comes from God. So despite the temptations that we experience that come to doubt our God or to doubt God, we also should make known that He is a tower of strength against enemies or all enemies that we face in this world. Now, let's look at verse 2, which says, and verse 2 tells us the key that opens the gate. The key that opens the gate. Verse 2 says, open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the one that remains faithful. So, this city so soundly secure, it will be one of these days. This whole world will be secure. Not as we know it right now. It doesn't seem like anything is secure right now. But it will be one of these days. That's God's promise. We'll open this gate for the righteous, the ones who remain faithful to enter in to that security, to that peaceful setting. So the mark of the acceptability is relational righteousness with the Lord. So none can live in this city, none in the new city, Jerusalem, the strong city, no one can live in this city unless God and His character is the passion for their lives, has a heart, has that personal relationship with God. It is so nice to understand that the scriptures points all of these things that we are going to see in the future. We might not recognize or understand it now in our day and time and the things that we see and experience, but one of these days, if we're still here, the Lord hasn't come, we will better understand what the Bible has been prophesying from years back to our present world today, the things that are coming, the things that we will be experiencing, and God is in control of all of it. So Isaiah is saying the righteous nation seems to be a reference to the remnant of Israel, the remnant that will come to Jerusalem and be present there at the kingdom, the new millennium. So, Isaiah is saying the other nations will have places in the kingdom, but believers in Israel will have the special position. They will have a special place there because God has ordained that to be. Let's look at a second thing here, which is God is our steadfast, He's our steadfast hope, and our steadfast hope and trust. And verse 3 says, it begins to set forth a certain ground of hope for God's people. And God is our hope. And Isaiah is setting that forth for us to see right here and better understand. In verse 3, it says, the steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace. I like this verse. I love this verse. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. We trust in God. So, the person who finds peace has cast himself upon God without any reservation. We should have any reservation of casting our trust upon God. Even now, and in the future, and in the new millennium. It's a fixed disposition of trust in God is required to experience the security that God gives. If we believe that, then we can have that in our lives, even now. So, the promise that God keeps with us are intended to create confidence in His word and faithfulness to Him. You know, God desires us to trust Him and along the way keep our faith and keep our focus upon Him. Those who abide in the word and cultivate faithfulness will find peace. And that's what this verse is talking about. We'll find peace. It's a deep, restful, constant assurance that God cannot forsake His word, or He will never forsake His promises. You can always claim God's promises. I do, and I know that you do. For those whose mind is fixed upon the promises of God, the outcome of all events, of all things in this world, the ultimate end will be peace with God. It will be peace with Him. So these faithful few will know the peace. You and I will know the peace of God that alone He will give to each and every one. So, if you think about it, and I thought about that when I was studying for this message, the human heart by nature is not always stable, is it? It can be, and it will be with God and Him, His focus in our lives. So our mind has a tendency to waver and change with every shifting wind of doctrine if it has no firm foundation upon which it rests. It is shifty, shifty like wind. So when it rests upon the Lord, when our lives rest upon the Lord, it abides firm, constant, preserved in His perfect peace, as verse 3 tells us here, perfect peace. For it is set upon the non-changing circumstances within our world. And God is a rock of eternal security in our lives, and it's unchangeable. Let's look at verse 4. Is a sound claim of the truth from what I just read in verse 3. And verse 4 says, trust in the Lord forever, forever, now and forever. For in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. The rocks are solid, right? God is solid in His truths. So if trusting God is a result in a steadfast mind which is kept in peace, then all persons should be urged to trust in God alone. And the issue of trust is always the key. That is the key in life itself. The trust especially that we have in God is the key to life. In whom or what are we trusting? Sometimes we need to trust in God unwaveringly. So the reality and extent and depth of our peace should tell us what we trust in. If we trust in God, then we have that peace, peace that passes all understanding. And peace can be found only in God. And He is our eternal God who's revealed Himself in His Word, the Bible. The Bible and the Word of God that we read on every day, in your devotion time, or when we're at church, when you're alone, whenever you need comfort, when you need understanding, when you need discernment, you'll find it in the Word of God. And so we can trust it. So the house Isaiah was talking about that built on the rock will stand in the storm. Our lives will stand in this storm that we're experiencing now. We can stand firm as we trust in the Lord. And the rock in which Isaiah is talking about is God. He is our rock. And those who trust in God not only find him, but receive him in everlasting strength. He is our mighty fortress. And therefore, we need to trust God every day and never cast away or lose our confidence in what he tells us in his word. Now, as believers, we who are confident of God's providence, we can rest in his grace, and if we rely upon the Holy Spirit, we will experience the miracle of his quiet peace. And when we keep our mind on God, God keeps our mind at peace. What a wonderful way to experience life itself, to have the peace of God. Our final one is, God is our sovereign protection. In verses 5 and 6, it tells us that, for he has brought low those who dwell on high, the unassailable city. He lays it low. He lays it low to the ground. He cast it to the dust. And then verse 6, I'll go ahead and read it. The foot will trample it, the feet of the afflicted, the steps of the helpless. Now, to summarize these last two verses, I want us to look at what Isaiah is revealing to us here. And what he is saying, the Lord has brought the proud and oppressive city. And by the way, this can mean all cities that is opposed to God. And I'm talking about all over the world. Those who opposes God, he will bring them down to dust. Just like the walls of Jericho. When they marched around the walls of Jericho, what happened? They fell in place. And those who oppose God, those who oppose what God is doing within this world and how he is establishing his kingdom, if they don't come alongside believers and those who trust in God, their cities will be like dust. And that's what Isaiah is saying. And when he lays the unassailable city low, he will bring down those who trusted in it also. And that can be leaders, it can be kings, it can be high authorities, or whatever it is that has been so deceptive and demeaning and leading the world in false things in this world. They will be laid as well to dust. And there will be those who place their trust in it, and this, the greatest city ever built to the power and wisdom of man, it will be man. And there is also a warning here, according to Isaiah. For God's people should beware of inhabiting of a proud city. For just as a righteous would dwell in his city, so the defiled will dwell in the city of man. And I think we're seeing that within our world today. Right now, we are seeing this. And it is better to be among the humble that triumph in the end than among the mighty who will be crushed. Oh, Isaiah has it right on time. He has it right on target. And if we will just read and study and discern the interpretation of the scriptures, we can see prophecy fulfilling itself today. And the proud might afflict and tread on the helpless, but God will reserve the tables of his people when he returns in the near future. So in closing this morning, The destruction of God's enemies will be the final outcome of his coming. Let me say that again. The destruction of God's enemies will be the final outcome of his coming. That will be the end. And he is mighty to save his own, and he will save his own. He will lift up his own. And seeing that we have a victorious God, let us rest in him. Let us have peace in our God. Let us be encouraged to trust in the Lord forever, no matter what may come. No matter what may come. And we have been in many, many trials in our life. We have been in many, many trials this year, haven't we? A lot of testing things going on in our world. Many hardships, many sufferings, many things that we've faced this year. We have been through many trials, but never in one where God has failed us at all. He never fails. He is with us. His presence, he will make known, and we can trust him and have peace in him. So we can rest assured that his everlasting strength will be there as our help and fortress as it has ever been. You can acknowledge God's presence. We know he's near. So if you focus your mind and your life on God and trust him, the verse that I quoted earlier from Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 says, "The peace of God, which exceeds anything that we can understand, will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." Now that is the New Living Translation version that breaks it down and makes it clear to what the peace that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and give us strength and courage. Because as we live or allow Christ to live through our lives, see, that's the peace that Paul is talking about, and that's the peace that Isaiah is talking about, and that's the peace that we experience and we can experience each day if we have our trust in the right place. If we have it in God, our Heavenly Father, that's where the perfect peace is that Isaiah and Paul and the other authors in our Word, in the Bible, is talking about. You're experiencing that this morning? You can have it. Those that are here this morning and those who are listening may be struggling, may have a lot of things on your plate this morning, but it doesn't go unnoticed by God. And he is more than capable of taking care of anything and everything that we experience. Let us pray. Our Father God, we praise your holy name this morning. We thank you for the message from Isaiah. We thank you for your word from Genesis to Revelation. And in Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 says, when you come back and establish your kingdom, and when we experience our place that you're preparing for each one of us, there'll be no more sorrows, no more suffering, no more tears, because we'll be with you. And until then, Lord, may we live out our life and allow Christ to live his life through us, and we'll experience that perfect peace, that tranquility, that perfect life, not only in eternity, but even now we can experience it, because we have that hope, we have that trust. We need to be focused on who the Creator is, and that's you, Heavenly Father. That helps us better understand that you love and care so much that you provided a way out of this world to the perfect kingdom where you are. We'll see your presence, acknowledge your presence, and bow down before you. And Lord, if there's anyone listening that doesn't know you personally, that needs to know you, I pray this morning that they will give their heart and life to you. They will accept you as their personal Savior. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for intervening in our life each day. And we lift up all of those that we've been praying for, those that are listening this morning that needs to know that you are with them. We pray for them and lift them up in the name of Jesus for your comfort and your peace, that you will sustain them through the hard times and the things they're experiencing right now. And Lord, we praise your holy name. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who provided salvation for each one of us, that one of these days we will know and experience that perfect peace. And it's because of him, your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. We're going to